Hi, this is Donna Brennan. I'm here with Eddie Jones. He's president of Christian Devotion Ministries. And Christian Devotion Ministries encompasses several websites, including ChristianDevotions.us, DevoKids.com, IBGAT.com, and InspireFire.com. Eddie, can you tell me why you and Cindy Sproul started Christian Devotion Ministries?
We had been at the Blue Ridge Christian Writers Conference. I think we both went in 2005. And while we were at the conference, one of the keynote speakers at the conference was a guy named Alton Gansky. And Cindy was on one side of the room. I was on a different side of the room. We didn't know each other. And Alton made a comment during his presentation. He said, "The thing you write may never be in a bookstore. It may never be published by a major book publisher. It may not be published at all. It only may be for the person sitting next to you." And I do a devotional time each day, and so I've got a prayer journal. And so I pulled out my prayer journal, and I wrote that down in my journal. And about 6 or 9 months later, I was under the willow tree at home doing my devotion, and I heard God speak to me. He said, ChristianDevotions.com. And at the time, I had a web development business, and so I knew how to register domains. And so I thought, well, I'll check and see if that domain name is available. But by the time I got upstairs, I forgot about it. And so a couple of weeks went by. I'm sitting there doing my devotion, and God says, ChristianDevotions.com. Oh, yeah, I was going to check on that. And so I forgot. By the time I got upstairs, I forgot again. And a few more weeks go by, and I hear God say, ChristianDevotions.com. And so I go, right. So I got up, wrote it down in my journal, got up, went upstairs, and I checked, and ChristianDevotions.com was taken. But ChristianDevotions.us was still there, so I registered the domain, and then I sent an email out to a writer's group that I was on and said, "I've got this domain. I just registered it. I'm thinking about publishing a few devotions. Are there any devotion writers out there?" And this email came back from a girl named Cindy Sproles. And she said, "Well, I've got a few devotions. I'll send you some." And so I emailed her back. I said, "Well, great. How many do you have?" She says, "Oh, probably 300 or 400. So I got to talking to her, and I said, "How did you wind up with so many devotions?" She said, "Well, I was at the Blue Ridge Christian Writers Conference in 2005, and this speaker named Alton Gansky said, 'The thing you write may not be for anyone but the person sitting next to you.'" And so I went home and I told God, "If you'll let me be a writer, I'll write every day a devotion for you." And so she had gone home and started writing a devotion every day. And when I got the website up and running, we already had a backlog of devotions that we could pull from. And that's how we started Christian Devotions Ministries. The purpose behind it was kind of when Cindy and I got to know each other, is we were both kind of frustrated that we would come to the Blue Ridge Conference and find really good devotion writers, and they didn't have any place to publish their devotions. Upper Room takes a long time to get in, and they have a huge backlog, and there were other devotion sites, books, magazines. And so a lot of these devotions just weren't being published, and because I know how to build websites, that's when we just said, "Hey, we can do this ourselves. I mean, we can launch people's careers off ChristianDevotions.us. All we got to do is build a site." Blogs were just getting started then, and so we just used the blog platform and kind of went from there.
That sounds great. Now, I know that you and Cindy both have a heart to help other writers, and I think that's terrific. Now, what about Devo Kids?
DevoKids.com, that's our kids ministry site, and I think it was the first offshoot of Christian Devotions Ministries. I can't remember now how many years Christian Devotions had been up and running, but we both just have a heart for kids, trying to change the culture of where the kids are now. And so we were at the Blue Ridge Conference. Again, that's the only time we would ever see each other, is the Blue Ridge Conference. And so Cindy and I were at the conference. We were kicking around the idea of maybe launching a kids ministry website for devotions. And one of the conferees at that conference was a girl named Terry Kelly. And we had met Terry, and I think she had written a couple of devotions for Christian Devotion. And we were telling her about this Devo Kids, and she was a grade school teacher. That was her deal. She taught school at the lower grades, and she loved kids. And we told her, and she got all excited about it. She started spewing out these ideas, and she could see the site. She could visualize it. She started telling us what links we needed to have on there, what kind of content we needed to have on there. She just embraced the whole concept. And we said, "Well, Terry, would you like to be the editor of DevoKids.com?" And she went, "Well, you know, I've kind of applied for this new..." She had retired from teaching. At that point, I think she stepped back away. She said, "But I've applied for this teaching position at this school, and if I get accepted, then I'll be doing that full time." We said, "Okay." And the last day of the conference, she got an email saying that they had chosen somebody else for that position. She was kind of weepy, a little bit crying, and I told her, I said, "Well, Terry, it may be that God wanted the very best for DevoKids.com, and that's why you didn't get the other job. It's because he got the best for himself." And so she came on board as the editor of Devo Kids, and she ran that until this past year, and she turned the editor job over to Renee McCauley and Sandy Hart. Those are the two editors now.
Okay. I guess 2 years later, you came up with IBGAD.com. Tell
me
about that.
Yeah, IBGAD.com follows in the footsteps of DevoKids. IBGAD is for the teens. It's a teen-oriented website, so the content is written by teens for teens. And what we're trying to do there is tell young people, you know, once they get in the teenage years, if you don't like the culture that you're living in now, you can change it now. I mean, if you don't change it, what you have right now is exactly what you'll have when you're our age or worse. So if you're going to change the culture, start today by creating something brand new. And that's why we picked the word begat, because in the Old Testament, when you get to the begats, that's usually the part where everybody skips over. Nobody reads that. It's so-and-so begat. So-and-so, it looks real boring, and teens oftentimes feel like they're skipped over. Nobody's paying attention to them. But yet the word begat means create, begin something new, birth something. And that's what we're telling teens to do, is create something new and change your culture. And so that's a site for teens. And Kyle, he's the editor of the site, and he goes out and gets great teen writers, and they write content for the site.
Now, are you always looking for more writers?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a funny thing. We go to a lot of writers' conferences, and we meet a lot of people who want to be writers, who some of them say they are writers. But finding good content and good articles, good devotions is hard. It's not as easy as we thought. And even though we started it to help launch writers' careers, and because we had found some really good content that we felt like needed a place to be published, in hindsight, that was probably God giving us the low-hanging fruit and getting us into the business of being farmers. And then once you get into being a farmer, you find out it ain't always that easy. You know, there's a lot of rocks you got to move. There's a lot of dirt that's just not really good for planting. And that's kind of what we do when we go to conferences. We're looking for those quality writers because it's hard to find the really good ones.
I know it's also very hard for quality writers to get published, to find a spot to get published. And I'm sure when they meet with you and you meet with them, it's a win-win situation for both sides.
Oh, yeah. If I can find a writer that has a good voice, that knows how to string words together and understands the format and can churn them out, that's like found gold. And we go back to those writers all the time because they're professionals. You just give them an assignment and say, you know, do we need devotions? Give us some devotions. Yeah.
And even though you don't pay them in money, you're paying them in experience and getting their name out there. And I know that Christian Devotions is very well respected in the industry, and I'm sure that helps them to be published to other places.
Yeah, Cindy tells the story. I came out of a journalism background when I went to NC State. I had a degree in English and had a journalism emphasis, and the old adage is you don't write for free. Only a knucklehead writes for free. And so after we'd started Christian Devotions and we'd been doing this a couple of years, I kept coming back to Cindy and said, I want to pay him at least $15, $25 for every devotion. You know, this is hard work, and the writers should be rewarded for their effort. And Cindy said, yes, I understand that. I think they should be writing and tithing their time to God. That's what their devotion writing is. It's their way of tithing their time to God, and that God will bless them in other ways. So we've been battling back and forth on this for a couple of years. And finally, we were in a position where I said, well, let's just try it 1 year. And so in the Sally Stewart Christian Writers Guide, we said, we pay for devotions. And that was the year we got the worst quality devotions ever. What we found out was, I think we were paying maybe $15. We were getting $15 worth of work. Before, if somebody was writing for God, we got their best. When we were paying them money, we got whatever they were willing to give us. So we stopped doing it, and we went back and just said, you know, if you write for us, you're tithing your time to God, and He may bless you in other ways, but you'll become a better writer. And at the end, we give everybody a chance to have their bio listed. They get a picture. If they have a book for sale, we link to their book, and that's really where the value is. In hindsight, it turns out we were ahead of the curve because that's what a lot of online magazines and websites are doing anyways. They're not paying. They're giving you that link back to your website and your Facebook page.
It's getting you out there, getting your name out there,
yep.
Giving you a platform to stand on. Now, can you tell me something about Lighthouse Publishing of the Carolinas?
Yeah, Lighthouse Publishing the Carolinas, we had Christian Devotions Ministry. One of the things we did early on, because we weren't paying our writers on the website, we thought, well, I know some of these people would like to have their devotion in a book. They've never been published in a print form, and you can point somebody to a website, but that's not the same as actually seeing your work in a printed form. And so Cindy and I decided, well, let's see if we can put together a devotional compilation of 30 devotions. And so we did. Called it Spirit and Heart, and we took 30 devotions that were on the website that we thought were pretty good, and we put them in this book, and we paid each writer in that book $25 for their devotion. So now they're getting paid, and they're actually going to have their devotion in a book. And I was the one in charge of doing the book production, so I figured out how to get the book designed and the cover designed and then loaded into the print-on-demand system, and we produced the book, and it was really small. I mean, 30 devotions isn't very many devotions, so it was a really thin book, and you looked at it and went, well, I'm not sure it's worth $9.95. I mean, it just didn't seem like it was worth $10. But it turned out to be a really good seller for us, and what we found out later was because it was thin and small, women could take it and curl it up and put it in their purse and take it with them to work. So actually the format worked pretty well. And so that's how we got into doing book publishing. We did that, and we published a couple of more devotional compilations, and then we had authors coming to us and going, hey, would you consider doing a devotional compilation of just my devotions? And we said, well, we kind of know how to do that. We haven't really done that before. And so that would require issuing a contract. Basically, we're a book publisher at that point. We've never done that. So God had kind of opened that door for us. So we started issuing book contracts. We would go to conferences, and now we're looking for devotion writers, but we're also looking for devotional book writers. And so we signed a few authors, and we published a few books that way. Then about 2 years ago, we realized that we were making too much money. Because we're a nonprofit, and we don't need a lot of money to run the ministry. It's a virtual ministry anyway. We don't have a building or anything. But all our income comes in from donations for the most part. But suddenly the book publishing was bringing in a lot more money, and there's a balance with the IRS, if you're a nonprofit, about income producing and donations. So we split off with the book publishing and put it under Lighthouse Publishing of the Carolinas. That's a for-profit book publishing company. And I'm the acquisitions editor for Lighthouse Publishing. So now Cindy and I go to conferences, and we're looking for devotional compilation books more so than we used to. We're also looking for fiction and nonfiction. And it's the same premise, just like Christian Devotions Ministry, our mission at Lighthouse Publishing is to launch new careers. So what we tell authors are, we're looking for that manuscript that maybe is good enough that it should have been published with a traditional house, and maybe you get all the way up to the committee, the pub board, and the editorial committee, and everybody had really good things to say about it, but for whatever reason, they finally came back and said no. It might have been you didn't have the large enough platform, or maybe the sales goals weren't what somebody thought they should be. So it's a book that maybe you're thinking about self-publishing, but when we look at it, we go, this is really, really good stuff. It's a really good manuscript. If we take it on, we can make money off of it. That's what we're gambling. It's like any traditional publisher. We think if we take a manuscript and we can make money off of it, we'll offer a contract. And so far, that's worked out pretty well for us. We have some books that haven't earned back what we've invested, and that's primarily because, in a lot of cases, the authors haven't put the effort into the marketing. They've written a book, and then they've stopped. But for the authors that really work hard, they write a good book and they work hard, they can make money off of it. One of the other things that sets us apart from probably most publishers are that we pay royalties on a monthly basis, because we think that if you're going to be a professional writer, you ought to get paid every month just like you're working any other job. So we issue royalty statements and royalty payments every month, and it's time-consuming for Lighthouse Publishing, but it is pretty cool for the authors to get a check for $250, $300 every month coming in.
Yeah, they make that much?
Oh, yeah. I help do the books with my wife. She actually does the bookkeeping side of it, and so we had to do the royalty reports right before I flew to the conference. And we've got an author, we send them a check for $1,000. That's unusual. That's not the most. I mean, that's not like every month. And there are a lot of authors, they only get $10 a month, depending on the type of book.
They're not out there helping to promote their book.
Right, right. I mean, I can tell. I can tell when an author's out marketing their book because I can see the sales spike. When they fall off, I'll email and say, you know, everything going okay? And they go, well, I had a death in the family, or I've got an illness, or something's come up. And I can tell. We market the book too, but you just have to have that author behind it.
Well, even with the big publishing houses, the authors have the responsibility to get out there and promote their own books. I mean, the big publishing companies don't put as much money into marketing books
as
they used to.
They don't. But there is an old adage, and that is, if it's a good book, people will find it. What happens with the marketing, the reason the marketing is so important is, if you've got a good book and you don't market it, then it is a light under a bushel. That is what you've done. You have basically just left the light under the bushel because you don't want to pay the money to lift the basket off the light. But if you will pay the money to get the basket off the light, now if it's a good light, people will find it and they'll be drawn to it. And that's what happens with the books that are successful for us. When we have authors that tweet about it, get on Facebook, talk about it, get on Pinterest, get on Goodreads, do giveaways, when we have authors making that kind of effort, if it's a good book, it grows legs and it does well.
Are there certain type of fiction or nonfiction books you're looking for?
We found suspense does really well, romance does really well. It's the same genres in just about any industry.
So you're not genre specific, you're kind of broad
right.
range.
Broad range. We've got a Christian fantasy right now. It's called The Maze, and it deals with one man's confrontation with his own sin and the consequences of sin. And it's written in kind of the same kind of voice maybe of C.S. Lewis. It's in that kind of journey place. And the guy actually gets to see what happens with the supernatural level of the battle between good and evil, and how there are spiritual forces that trip us up. They put us in a maze, they leave us in a box, and there are demons that are attacking us and we never even see them. And that's kind of the genesis of the story. And it's a good book. The downside is, you know, Christian fantasy isn't as big a market for that as it is for suspense. because suspense can cross over, and Christian fantasy doesn't necessarily cross over. So we don't expect the sales of that book to be as good as some others unless it finally hits the right word-of-mouth tipping point, and then it could go big, could go really big.
Sounds like a really intriguing story.
Oh, yeah, it's a neat story. But we've got a lot of neat stories that way. So we're looking for suspense and romance. Those are probably the two biggest ones if you've got an author trying to break in. And we encourage authors to write short. When I come to conferences, I get a lot of proposals in the 80,000 to 95,000 word count. But for what we do, because we're print on demand, when you have a word count that high, that puts the selling price of the print version up in the $15 range. It makes it really hard for that book to do well as a print book. If you can give me a 60,000 word manuscript, I can probably price it at $11.95, which means the bookstore may bring it in and keep it in inventory, so you may wind up seeing it in Lifeway or Barnes & Noble or Family Bookstore. Most of our revenue for our authors come off the Kindle books.
Right.
And that's where we've got one book that's already sold 5,000 copies in 3 months.
Wow.
And that author's making about a buck and a half off each copy, so he's doing really well.
Is he pushing it himself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's out talking about it and marketing the book, and it's doing well.
And word of mouth is also probably helping him a lot, too.
Yeah, but it's a good book. That book is called Redeeming Grace by Ward Turnenberg. And if you look at the reviews, I think he's got 109 reviews, and he's got a 4-star rating. Those people, the 109, you know, maybe 9 of them were his friends, and the other 100, they don't owe Ward anything. They just bought the book, they read the book, and they liked
the
book.
They liked it.
Yeah.
Well, that, I think, is one of the biggest selling points. Because I know when I get a book from Amazon, I always read the reviews before I buy the book. Even
right.
If it's a free book, I always read the reviews before I
exactly.
download it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, last question I'm going to ask you about is the InspireFire.com. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, InspireFire.com, it was started by a friend of ours named Gina Holmes. She's a 2-time Christie Award nominee. She wrote Crossing Oceans and Wings of Glass, and I forget there was another novel that had to do with rain. I'm sorry, Gina, if I can't remember the third book. But she's a very gifted writer, an excellent writer. And she started InspireFire, I think kind of based on the premise in the New Testament, where I think Paul's writing to Timothy, says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. You know, if you've got this fire in your heart, if you've got this burning desire, you know, encourage it. Flame up the fire, and that's what Inspire Fire is about. Is if God has given you a passion for something, whether it's working in third world countries, you know, helping people come up with clean water, if you've got a gift for painting, if you've got a music ministry where you're a musician, whatever that gift that God has given you. Inspire Fire is a place to come and talk to others about that. You write articles. We've got music videos. We've got devotions, and if you're in the design business, if you're in designing clothes for women or men, for that matter, if there's a story there, we want to hear about it. ChristianDevotions.us is only devotions, but we also hear from authors all the time that said they've got a soapbox issue. I really want to kind of preach about this, or, you know, this really gets me fired up.
So now they have a platform for that.
That's what Inspire Fire is for, is when you're fired up about something. We don't want people to be pointing fingers, but if it fires you up, if there's something going on in the culture that really gets you upset, we want to hear about it at Inspire Fire.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, thank you very much for your time, Eddie.
Thank you.